welcome.
Shana Tova, Shalom, and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio, the first one to be recorded during the year 5767. Hopefully we will have a good and sweet year with many shows and many, many other good things. This show is for Shabbat Parshat Ha'azinu, also known as Shabbat Shuva, the Shabbat between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It is Yom Chamishi, Thursday of that Shabbat. The secular date is September 28th. The Jewish date is the 6th of Tishrei, 5767. We'll be talking about Shabbat Shuva, about Teshuvah, repentance, and about Yom Kippur. Let's begin with Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir ha-ma'alot mi-ma'amakim k'raticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli, tihiyena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmorya Adonai mi ya'amod. Ki imacha ha-slicha l'ma'an tivare. Kiviti Adonai kivita nafshi v'lidvaro ho-cholti. Nafshi l'Adonai, mi shomerim la-boker, shomerim la-boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, כי אם אדוני החסד והרבה אמו פדות, והוא יפדה את ישראל מכל אבונותיו. אחינו כל בית ישראל הנתונים בצורה ובשביה, העומדים בין בים ובין ביבשה, המקום ירחם עליהם ויוציאים מצרה לרווחה, ומאפלה לאורה ומשיבוד לגאולה, השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב ונאמר אמן. And let's hear that אחינו one more time, from Avraham Fried.
Acheinu kol beis Yisroel hanesuvunim batzoro oya hanesuvunim batzoro vashivyo
Avraham Fried with Achenu. Something very special about Shabbat Shuva, about the whole period from Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur. But one of the facts of the calendar is if we take the 10 days of repentance, Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, the first 2 days are Rosh Hashanah, the culminating day is Yom Kippur, and that leaves 7 days. Very significant, because that's exactly a week. Now, Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbat sometimes and sometimes not. And Yom Kippur is sometimes Shabbat and sometimes not. And in some years, neither Rosh Hashanah nor Yom Kippur are on Shabbat, and sometimes one and sometimes the other. But the constant is that there is always a Shabbat Shuva, a Shabbat between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and exactly one. There's actually one Sunday, one Monday, one Tuesday, one Wednesday, one Thursday, one Friday, and one Shabbat. Not always at that same starting point, but there's one of each. And the writers about this period of time point out that each day of Aseret Yemei Teshuva is the model, the tone and pace setter for that day of the week throughout the year to come. So what you do on this Thursday, being the first Thursday of the new year, is a tone setter for your Thursdays throughout the year. That does not mean that you can't change or you won't change for the good or for the bad. But it's an idea to keep in mind, and especially with Shabbos. Thursday different from Wednesday, there are some minor differences, but it's nothing big. Shabbat from the rest of the week, very big. This coming Shabbat, day after tomorrow, is special because it's the first, quote, regular, normal Shabbat of the year. Last week was also Shabbat, the first one of 5767, but it was Rosh Hashanah. And that makes it different. And when something is different, you don't necessarily draw from it and learn from it. It's a pinnacle that is reached, but you don't replicate Rosh Hashanah during the year. Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur. But Shabbat does get replicated. So this Shabbat, for example, is preceded by candlelighting and a regular Kabbalat Shabbat and Zmirot at the table. And the of course it's different. We feel that it's different being between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, having the traditional Shabbat Shuva Drusha. It's a serious, more serious Shabbat than others. But it's still a Shabbos. And because it's a Shabbat, it has that power to, as I said, set the tone, set the pace for future Shabbatot. It is very significant how a person spends any Shabbat, but especially Shabbat Shuvah, because this is the time to use the atmosphere of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur for some serious resolutions for the rest of the year. And it's with Shabbat that we stand the chance of success. Very important how we view this Shabbat. A few details. We read Parshat Ha'azinu. Not always is Shabbat Shuvah Ha'azinu. Sometimes it's Vayelech by itself. This, as I've said before, depends on whether there is a Shabbat between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. This year there is not. Therefore, we don't need that extra Torah reading. Nitzavim and Vayelech were combined in the last Shabbat of 5766, and Ha'azinu takes its place as Shabbat Shuvah. Noteworthy is the fact that Ha'azinu contains some serious reproach, like we've had in Ki Tavoh and in Nitzavim, and yet it just comes across a little, I don't know, with less of a sting, because it's in the form of a beautiful poem with very unusual words. But the Seder begins, Ha'azinu Hashamayim Va'adabera, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, V'tishma Ha'aretz Imrefi, and the earth will hear the speech of my mouth. Ya'arof Kamatar Likhi Tizal Katal Imrati, Kesirim Ale Deshe V'chirvivim Ale Esev. This verse compares the teachings of Torah, the teachings of Moshe Rabbeinu, to different types of rainfall. Water comes to us in the form of rain, in the much lighter form of dew, and sometimes as a storm. And so does Torah. Torah is very often compared with water. And the lesson to be taken here is that you have to be very careful how you teach others Torah, be they your children or students or fellows, because sometimes a person needs the light touch of dew when absorbing Torah, when being taught Torah. A heavier rain will drench the person, mixing metaphors on purpose, and it's too much. And other people can handle a nice steady rain. And some people can be intense enough to get Torah in the form of a storm. In any event, the Torah continues, Kishem Hashem Ekra Havugodel Elelokenu, a well-known verse. It was borrowed to introduce the Mincha Amidav every day, the Musaf Amidav, Shabbat and Chagim, and the Ne'ila prayer of Yom Kippur. It's the verse that's pointed to as the origin of the practice of joining together to acknowledge God's greatness, not just davening with a minion, but even Birkat HaMazon. One person eats, he has an obligation to say Birkat HaMazon, bless God at the end in the form of benching, Birkat HaMazon. Two people, okay, once you've got three guys together, or three women, or more, then there's an additional requirement of banding together in order to jointly acknowledge God's greatness. The mezamein, the leader of the benching, says, Rabotai Nivarech, fellows, let us bench. And we answer, Yishem Hashem Mivorach Me'atov Yad Olam. This is the verse that is pointed to as the source. Moving along several verses later, Zechor Yemot Olam Binu Shnot Dor Vador. Jews very much are supposed to pay attention to history and learn and see the wisdom that we could garner from Jewish history. Sha'al avicha v'yagedecha zekeinecha v'yomeru lach. Ask your father and he'll tell you, and the elders and they will say to you. Remember the old term generation gap? Judaism doesn't hold by generation gaps. A member of the current generation is supposed to ask questions of the previous generation and even go back another one if you've got people around, because it's the way that our Judaism stays traditional and stays alive generation after generation. Let me jump to the Haftorah, the Haftarah of Shabbat Shuva. It is made up of two pieces. Part of the book of Hosea, the very end portion, which begins, Shuva Yisrael, return, O Israel. That's where the Shabbat gets its name from. Ad Hashem Elokecha, return unto God. Ki chashalta ba'avonecha, because unfortunately you have fallen down because of sins. Kechu imachem devarim, v'shuvu el Hashem. Take with you these words and return to God. The book of Hosea concludes with this pasuk, which is in the Haftorah. Mi chacham v'yavein eila, who is wise and understands these things? Navon v'yeda'em, he's deeply intelligent and will know them well and make them known. Ki yesharim darchei Hashem, God's ways are straightforward. V'tzadikim yelechu vam, righteous people will go on these roads. Ufo she'im yikoshlu bam, and sinners will fall and fail on these same pathways. The commentaries make note of the fact that we're talking about the path of God, or the path to God. That is where the righteous person will succeed and the wicked person will fail. Not wicked, the sinful person will fail. Not on a different path, that's worse, but even on the path of mitzvot. And they explain as follows. A person can think he's doing a mitzvah, a good thing, but his motives and his intentions have to be proper. And there has to be proper attention to detail. In other words, you have to do them right. One should not say, hey, look, I'm doing this right thing. All right, so I'm not praying at the proper time. Or I'm not saying the words in the siddur because they don't speak to me. Instead, I make up my own. I better stop here. I don't know if I'm choosing the best example a person should pray his own words to, but should not abandon the words of the sitter. That's a whole other topic by itself. I guess what I'm trying to say is that one needs to have a lot of introspection and self-examination, not of others, but of oneself, as to not only do you do mitzvot or not. Well, let's pull back a step. Some people need to ask themselves the question, do I keep kosher or not? If the answer is no, I don't keep kosher, then the resolve should be, but from now on I'm going to. All right. Do I keep Shabbat or not? Yes, no. But there's more to the question than that. Let's say your answer to the question, do I keep Shabbat, is definitely yes. Am I kosher? For sure. Am I an observant Jew? Yes, I am. If I am not, then that becomes the target of my introspection and resolution process in order to improve myself. But let's say a person can honestly answer that question, yes, I am observant, yes, I keep the mitzvot, yes, I do this, that, and the other thing. The question then is, what about the quality? What about the quality of your Shabbat, the quality of your relationship with your fellows, your committed, let's say, to not gossiping and not speaking Lashon Hara, but do you also help prevent other people from doing that? When someone is telling a juicy piece of gossip, do you say, excuse me, but we really shouldn't be discussing this, it's not a proper thing to say? Again, I don't know if this is a good example either. So let's not think of them as examples. Let's just take each thing that I say and apply it. If it hits a chord, let it. If I'm a little bit off, let it be like that. Also, you, the listener, internalize what I'm saying. Because I don't know each person that listens to the show, unless my brother is the only one. But I do know that everybody needs the process of introspection and self-examination, and that must be on the individual's level where they're holding. In other words, you cannot give a generic advice about the process of repentance. It has to be particular to where a person is at. One has to examine honestly his level of Shabbos observance, his level of interpersonal relations, his level of anything, and they're all different, even within one person, and work on repair and improvement on your own level. As I'm saying these words, I feel more frustrated than usual when I do these shows, because I can't see your faces, and I don't know if I'm getting the point across, and I don't know how it's coming out. I just get that way, especially around Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time. I've got this strong feeling that I want to convey to others, as well as myself, and personally, I find that when I try to convey it to someone else, I pay attention and I listen to what I am saying, and that's a very healthy thing sometimes. Of course, it saves me in case nobody is listening to what I'm saying, or nobody acts upon what I'm saying. At least I have the challenge and the opportunity to do so, and I better, otherwise it's a total waste of breath. But I feel confident that it's not. Just spend a nice piece of time this Shabbat thinking through your Shabbat, and other things will follow from there.
Ase imonu
tzedako bo
That was Yechiel Lichtiger from an album called Lichtiger 1, the last track on the album Avinu Malkeinu. It is the 44th sentence in the Avinu Malkeinu prayer, at least according to the Ashkenazi tradition. And it is a very significant part of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. This year we didn't say it on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, because it was Shabbat, and Ashkenazi tradition is not to say it on Shabbat, since it is based on the weekday Amidah. Of course, we do say it on Yom Tov, which would just be as problematic, since it's not the same Amidah, but forget that. What is significant is the background to Avinu Malkeinu and a little bit of its content. Let's first get the silly riddle out of the way. There's an old trick that teachers always played on students, myself included, especially when bringing up the topic of Avinu Malkeinu. We would then ask, how many Avinu Malkeinus are there? And kids would either guess or they'd go to the sitter and count. And the correct answer is only one. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, that is God, and He is one, and there is no unity like His. And that's the joke answer, or the serious answer. On the other hand, if you want to know how many sentences there are in Avinu Malkeinu, I already mentioned there are 44. If you want to know how many there used to be, the answer is Avinu Malkeinu started with 3. The Gemara tells the story that there was a serious drought, and one of the Rabbanim was davening the special 24 bracha amidah, not just the 19 one that we have, for situations of drought. It was done outside in the public square, which is the custom on fast days, declared for serious drought, and his prayers were not answered. Rabbi Akiva turned to God, so to speak, and said, Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha, our God, our King, we have sinned before you. Avinu Malkeinu Ein Lanu Melech Ela Ata, we have no king other than you. Therefore, Avinu Malkeinu Asei Imanu Lema'an Shemecha, do for us for your sake, for the sake of your name. And the Gemara story continues that it started to rain and the drought ended. That is what gave Avinu Malkeinu its position following the Amidah, and it gave it its traditional power. It is a very potent list of requests. It has expanded over the centuries to the current form of 44 lines. And if you take a look at it, you will find that they're not all requests, and there are overlappings, and a more thorough analysis would boil it down to its more essential, accurate listing. We don't have to do that now, just a few highlights. After those first three, we then have Avinu Malkeinu Chadesh Aleinu Shana Tova, renew this year as a good year. When it's not said during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, I mentioned just before that the origin was from a public fast day. We say Avinu Malkeinu on Ta'aniyot Tzibur, public fasts, as well as Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Public fasts came first. That's the origin of Avinu Malkeinu, and they were borrowed with slight changes for the days between from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur itself, we say Avinu Malkeinu at the end of Arvit, Mairiv, that would be next Sunday night. We say it after Shacharit, which would be Monday morning. We say it at the end of Musaf. And depending on if there is a break or not, it'll be said again after Mincha, and then it is said with the famous change from writing to sealing in the books at Ne'ilah. So it's a prayer we repeat during the day, and there's a certain amount of emotion that goes to it. First things we ask for are Batel Me'aleinu, cancel from us, Gezerot Kashot, harsh decrees, as well as Machshevot Sone'enu, the evil thoughts and plots of our enemies. And we say that in a few different ways, and we ask that we be spared plagues and pestilence and sword and famine, etc., etc. We say Slachu Mechal L'chol Avonoteinu, that makes it very Yom Kippur appropriate, ask for forgiveness for our sins. And we say that in a couple of different ways. And to bring us back in repentance, complete repentance before you, Hachazirenu b'teshuvah shleima lefanecha, we ask for health. That's patterned a little bit after, more than a little bit, the weekday davening, tear up the evil decrees against us. The fact that there are repeats and overlaps shouldn't concern anybody. That's the style of prayer. Zachrenu b'zikaron tov lefanecha, remember us for the good. Then you have the five katvenu, write us, inscribe us in the book of life, in the book of redemption, in the book of prosperity, in the book of merit, in the book of forgiveness and pardon. And we continue after that with other requests, including fill our plenty basket. In other words, we should have bountiful crops and hear our prayers and accept them before you and open the heavenly gates to our prayers, but also to remember that we are like dust, and don't send us away empty-handed, and let this hour, this moment be a time of rachamim, of mercy, and eight ratzon before you. Have mercy on us and do these things for us, because or in the merit of those people who have been killed sanctifying your name. And that's said a couple of different ways, and that's a very emotional part here also. And we conclude with the words that were just part of that song by Lichtiger. Chaneinu v'aneinu, have mercy on us and answer us. Now, why would it be necessary to have mercy in order to answer us favorably? Ki ein banu ma'asim, because we don't have things to our credit. Asei imanu tzedaka v'chesed, do for us a kindness. V'hoshienu, and redeem us. In any event, that's a nutshell of Inu Malkeinu. I shouldn't use the term nutshell, since the minhag is not to have nuts, or at least walnuts, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur season. We'll get into that some other time. I do want to say the following and use the Avinu Malkeinu as an example. Avinu Malkeinu is not the rarest of prayers. I just said we say it four or five times on Yom Kippur. We've said it twice a day during Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. It's not said on Shabbat. We did say it on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So count up how many times in that course. Add another two for each of the fast days, not counting Tisha B'Av for different reasons. So we say it 20, 25, 30 times in the year. Not a lot, not very rare. But there is a point that I want to draw from here, and it's sort of my focus, personal focus, and I wrote about it, and I'm talking about it, and I'm sharing it with the listeners now. Take a not-everyday prayer and notice in it the things that we do say every day. Here, for example, you have Avinu Malkeinu, Hachazirenu b'teshuvah shlema lefanecha. Very similar, especially since it's patterned after the Amidah, from the bracha that we have in every day's Shmon Esrei, Amidah, asking God to bring us back in repentance before Him. Slach u'machal l'chol avonoteinu, forgive us. Well, we say, slach lanu avinu ki chatanu, mechal lanu makenu ki fashanu. Shema koleinu chus v'racheim aleinu v'kabel barachamim uv'ratzon atfilateinu, which is two of the Avinu Malkeinu sentences. That's part of our davening. Now, it's not 25 to 30 times a year. It is every single day, three times a day, 24-6, not 24-7. And that adds up to a lot. That multiplies out to a lot. So you're talking 1,000 times that we ask God, Shema Koleinu Chus V'Racheim Aleinu. Now, in the context of Slichot, where that pasuk also appears, and Avinu Malkeinu, and Yom Kippur Davening, you have an emotional, dramatic, heart-tugging words that, if they're said by a proper chazan, a proper Baal Tefillah, They catch your attention and your emotion. I don't know if saying it every single day accomplishes the same thing. It doesn't. Human nature is that we don't relate to the everyday, quote, mundane things the same way we relate to the dramatic. But my point is that when you see it highlighted in a dramatic context, borrow from that to enhance the everyday part. I don't expect myself or anyone else to say Shema Koleinu in the Amidah with the same emotion and passion that you can say it on Yom Kippur or during Slichot, but make it a little bit more than humming your way through, buzzing your way through, because that's how some people daven on an everyday basis. This goes on and on and on. Oleinu. Oleinu l'shabeach ladon hakol. It is incumbent upon us to praise God. Oleinu is said at the end of each davening. There's another three times a day, every single day, and that is 24-7, including Shabbat. We always say Oleinu. Oleinu is famous for having been stepped on more than most prayers. People are often running out of shul during Aleinu, taking off their tefillin while and rolling them up while they're saying Aleinu. And yet Aleinu deserves more. Where do we see it? And where do we learn how to do the more? We learn it on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when it is smack in the focal point of the repetition of the Musaf Amidah. In the case of Rosh Hashanah, we say it in the private Amidah as well. We do it in the repetition again. The ark is opened. The Chazan sings it dramatically. We fall to the ground, kneel, and bow. When we say Va'anachnu Korim U'Mishtachavim U'Modim Lifnei Melech Malchei Hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alright, cut, wrap it up, good action, good feeling, good emotion, we did it well. Here's the challenge. Take the emotion of Aleinu, the intensity of Aleinu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and apply a little tiny bit of it to your everyday Aleinu. Following Yom Kippur is Tfilat Arvit. At the end of Tfilat Arvit, there it is again, Aleinu L'Shabeach. Different from the drama of a number of hours before, but no less a special tefillah. And it deserves our attention. We can say this in many different ways. For that which we have, the once a year Yom Kippur, twice a year Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, even the every Shabbat things, take a look at what you say every single day. And know that it gets shortchanged more often than not on an everyday basis, but we have the challenge and the ability to give it a little bit of the flavor that it deserves, that should always have had on the day-to-day basis. Here now from an old Diaspora Yeshiva Band recording is Simcha Liartzecha, which comes from the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Amidah, both private and repetition. And we're asking God to restore the joy and that belongs to Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, to the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael.
Bum ba yum ba 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 yum ba ba bum ba yum ba ba ba.
Shabbat Shalom, Gemar Chatima Tova, have a meaningful Yom Kippur, and let it not be just a one-day sensation, let it rub off to the rest of our lives. Lehishtam.